come, or shall we look for another? And when the men had come to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? In that hour he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and many were blind and stood sight, and he answered them, go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. When John's messengers had gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who are dressed in splendid clothing and live in luxury are in king's courts. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than when all the people heard this, the tax collectors too, they declared God just, having been baptized in the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the purpose of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. To what then shall I compare the people of this generation, and what are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang dirge, and you did not weep. For John the Baptist has come, eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say, he has a demon. The Son of Man comes eating and drinking, and you say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is justified by all her children. This is the gospel of the Lord.
When you win a race, that joyful or sad?
Sad.
A broken toy. But you know what the Bible says? Rejoice always. Broken toy? Phew! I don't have to pick that one up anymore. We'll just throw it away. Oh no. Happy? Joyful? Or sad? Sad. What is that? A house on fire. Oh no. One less payment I have to make. What about this one? Joyful or sad? Joyful. What is that? Church. And what's going on? A wedding. Rejoice again. Rejoice at the wedding. Pretty easy, right? Oh, joyful, right? Rejoice. What happened? Car wreck. Oh, no. But hopefully no one was hurt too bad, right? Praise God, right? Joyful. Joyful. Oh, what's that? Being baptized. Easy to be joyful, right? Oh, this happened the other night. Did you hear any thunder? Did you get scared by any lightning and thunder? No, we don't have to be scared. We don't have to be scared at anything. Because Jesus is with us, right? But it's hard to be joyful at that. Oh, what about this? What's that? What is it? Doctor. Is it joyful time? Not usually, huh? But we rejoice always. We rejoice always. Oh, what's this one? Joyful? Yeah. Gosh, I wish we could celebrate Christmas. It seems like it's so far away, isn't it? Is Christmas a long time away? Oh, you think yesterday it was 2 weeks. Come on, you should be down to the hours by now. Yeah, Christmas is coming. Jesus is coming. That's what we are celebrating. Every day we can celebrate that Jesus is coming again for our salvation. In all times, not everything is good and fun, and we know things that aren't so good, but we remember that Jesus is our Savior, right? You say a prayer with me? Dear God, thank you for all your promises. Thank you for keeping your promises. Help us to remember that. At all times. Thank you for Jesus, who we celebrate this Christmas and every day for our salvation in Him. Amen. All right, do you guys like Whoppers? There's some Whoppers that happen to us every day, right? So have some Whoppers and remember that all your Whoppers, Jesus is your Savior.
We continue with the sermon. And hark, a thrilling voice is sounding on page 8.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. A terrible and wonderful thing about Christianity is things are often not what they seem to be. For example, you sit here today among this odd collection of people. Some you know well, some not so well, some you don't know at all. There is that fussy child who's always interrupting the quiet moments. There's the guy who sings loudly and off key. There's that kid crawling under the pew. There are people that are staring up at the ceiling, seemingly disconnected from what is happening. It is a strange collection of people, and they are people with secrets. The people sitting around you do not want you to know what they have done. And you do not want them to know what you have done. This is a motley gathering of sinners, especially the sinner up front wearing the weird white robe as if he's somehow pure and holy. Looking around, this does not appear to be a holy gathering, and yet, that is exactly what it is. This is a gathering of the holy ones of God. You are saints of God. Despite your sin, you wear the white robe of Jesus' righteousness. Even though you are a poor, miserable sinner, even though you are by nature sinful and unclean, despite that, you are a saint. You don't look like a saint. You don't act like a saint, but you are a saint. Things are not what they appear. You are a saint because Jesus has declared you to be holy, innocent, and blessed because you are washed in the blood of Jesus. Things are not what they seem to be. John the Baptist has been a faithful prophet of Jesus his whole life. He leapt in his mother's womb at the very presence of the unborn baby Jesus. John is the new Elijah prophesied by Malachi and Isaiah, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." John declares when he sees Jesus, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John baptizes Jesus and sees the Holy Spirit descend on him like a dove, and hears the voice of God the Father saying, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." John is a prophet of Jesus, the Christ. John is a bold, strong prophet who speaks the truth of God, and because of that, John is in prison. He's chained to the wall in a pitch black, stifling dungeon in Herod Antipas's palace. John spoke the truth to Herod and that it was not right for him to be sleeping with Herodias, his brother's wife. John spoke the truth of God, and now he's in prison. Whenever he hears a guard coming to the door, he doesn't know if the guard is coming to feed him or coming to cut off his head. Things are looking very, very bad for John, this faithful prophet of Jesus. John's disciples send word to John that Jesus has healed a centurion's servant and he's raised the son of a widow from the dead, and the people are just amazed. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." Jesus is doing incredible miracles. And John sits in prison. Why? Why? Why doesn't Jesus do something? Jesus is God in flesh. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus has the power of God. Why doesn't Jesus free John from prison? Things don't look right. So John sends two of his disciples to the Lord saying, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And when the men had come to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, 'Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?'" John is saying to Jesus, things don't look right. You know the feeling that John the Baptist is having. You've had that feeling. Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? You know the feeling of, Lord, things don't look right. You stare down at the big red F on your test paper. That means that you have failed the class. They failed the test. You failed the class. And now you failed out of your major you thought was your destiny. What has happened? Lord, things do not look right. You take off your wedding ring as you walk out of the courtroom. You are no longer married. Your spouse has left you and divorced you despite all your prayers for reconciliation. Lord, things do not look right. You're at the hospital bedside of a loved one who is not going to get better. You prayed for healing and it did not come. Lord, things do not look right. You're visiting your loved one who's in prison despite all your prayers for them to find the right path. Lord, things do not look right. You're sitting in prison and you pray to be freed. Lord, things do not look right. You stand at the graveside as the casket is lowered into the ground. Lord, things do not look right. Jesus' response to John the Baptist in prison is such a powerful message to us. Even when things do not look right, Jesus is still in control. Jesus is still on the throne. Jesus still reigns. Jesus' gift of forgiveness, first given to you in your baptism and poured out continually in his word and in his body and blood, is still real. It is still effective, even when things do not look right. Jesus shows John's disciples that he has the power of God, that he is the one who is to come. They do not need to look for another. And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them." This is convincing evidence that Jesus is Lord. And you have a greater sign than all of these. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Amen.
Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus conquered death for you. Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead for you. You indeed are in this world with all of its trouble and turmoil, but you do not belong to this world. You are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. You are a baptized child of God, so you can believe the promises of Jesus even when your experience fights against it. Jesus' greatest gift is the forgiveness of sins, and this is what people are most offended by. How can Jesus forgive sins? Why do I need forgiveness? Is Jesus saying I'm not good enough? Is Jesus calling me a sinner? It's offensive that Jesus hangs out with sinners, tax collectors, and prostitutes. How can Jesus forgive these kind of people?
people who do not deserve forgiveness. Praise be to God that Jesus forgives people who do not deserve forgiveness, and he calls them to follow him. And being a follower of Jesus is not a promise of an easy life. It's a promise of forgiveness. It's a promise of eternal life. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." John the Baptist is bearing his cross in prison. He is a faithful prophet of God, and he will be beheaded. You bear the cross of the sufferings of this world and all the troubles that come from speaking the truth in love. Life is hard. Life is a struggle. Life is short. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Things are not what they appear to be. This assorted collection of sinners gathered here are the holy saints of God. No matter how things look, God's promise to you remains. You are a forgiven child of God. You are an eternal citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord returns in glory. Amen. We rise and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
First dear Rebecca Crossman, who has cancer. Bob Burnett, whose cancer is no longer responding to treatments. Mike Doak, awaiting surgery for aortic aneurysms. For the family of Chris Ross, who died on Thursday. For Tina Brinkley, who has COVID and is hospitalized. For Anna, a friend of the Baker, who is a 17-year-old recovering from brain tumor surgery. For the family of Paul Hoos, Dave Reiser's father, who died this week. And especially Dave's mother, who has dementia and is in decline. Pray for Todd Juling, friend of Natalie Reeder, suffering from severe COVID. And for Sheila Barbary, a school parent who has brain cancer, who's been hospitalized after a seizure. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That the Lord, who is favorable to his people, would restore the fortunes of his church by the coming of Christ Jesus. That he would fill us with rejoicing at all times and give reasonableness to our words and deeds. And that all may recognize our Christian confidence in his Son's advent. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the church, that God would give us faithful stewards of his mysteries and servants of Christ, who are trustworthy to proclaim him alone as Lord and Judge. And that the Lord would tend his flock by his word and spirit. That Christ's land may be gathered into God's arms and gently led to eternal life. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the children of our families, that their darkness would be lightened by your Son's gracious visitation. That God would preserve them from dangers to body and soul, guide them by his word and wise paths, and keep them firm in the faith till life's end. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For us and our fellow citizens, that God will preserve us from placing our trust in princes and mortal men who come and go like grass before his breath. For our nation, that God will give us rulers who will rule after his good pleasure, keeping order and protecting life, and for godly quietness and honesty. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and sorrowing, that the shepherd of Israel would give ear to their need, especially Becky, Bob, Mike, Chris's family, Tina, Anna, Paul's family, Dave's mother, Todd, and Sheila, and for healing, courage, and perseverance to all who cry out to God, that they may find comfort in his enduring word and certain hope of the resurrection. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who partake of the supper of Christ's body and blood, that our Father would watch over them and preserve in them repentant and worthy hearts, firmly believing the words given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. That they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Thank you.
call you the Lord's Savior. Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven.
Body of Christ, the true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, take in here. Body of Christ, the true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, take in here. Body of Christ, the true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, take in here. Body of Christ, the true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, take in here. Body of Christ, the true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, take in here. Body of Christ, the true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, take in here. Body of Christ, the true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, take in here. Body of Christ, the true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, take in here. Body of Christ, the true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, take in here. Body of Christ, the true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, take in here. Body of Christ, the true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, take in here. Body of Christ, the true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ body of Christ given to you. It's the true blood, your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you.
The body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you, preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Sins are shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor